Hi, I'm Lippy.
And I'm Grumpy. Together with Lippy and Grumpy do podcasting.
In this episode, Lippy has an announcement, more midnight moans, stealing DVDs, and Lippy's new feature that she's forgotten the name of.
Now, Lippy.
Hi.
You've got an announcement.
I do have an announcement. So, well, actually, I was thinking about this the other day when you, was it? I can't remember if we did a quick episode or something just before you got Floyd and you were like, we've got an exciting addition to the family.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And then we came on and had to say quite quickly that it wasn't that I was pregnant.
No.
But this time it is that I'm pregnant.
Yes. I'm going to be a granddad or grandmother, depending on what sex the baby is.
A joke that's been used multiple times
in
our family.
And it doesn't get tiring at all.
It does not, yes.
Oh, well, that is fantastic news. I mean, obviously, we've known for a few weeks.
Quite
a few weeks, but it was quite emotional when you said, are you ready to be grandparents?
I think it was a bit of confusion as well at the time as to why I'm asking that question.
Well, yeah, but oh!
And it clicked.
That's fantastic. So any side effects of baby
growing?
It's
awful. Honestly, it's awful. Poor duck boy. The main things, I thankfully haven't been sick. So that's been delightful. I've had the nausea, but I've not actually been sick. But I've been exhausted. And after a whole day's work, I don't want to do anything. So duck boy's been having to do all the housework. All the washing up, all the dinners. For himself, I haven't cooked him dinner in ages because I just need to eat. So I finish work and I normally have a snack while I'm cooking something really quick for me to eat. But that lasted until about 10 weeks, and now I'm starting to feel myself again. When this comes out, I may not be again. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. I remember wife of Grumpy going through a period of being quite unwell, but it wasn't that long, so it might be similar sort of time span.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that.
And any cravings?
No. Other than not wanting to eat, I haven't. I did say to Wife of Grumpy yesterday is I had jam for the first time a couple of days ago.
Oh, really?
And it's honestly the best, not for the first time ever since I've been pregnant, sorry.
Okay.
No. Because my diet went very much to like potato.
Yes.
And bread.
Acid soaking food.
Yeah. Carbs that were beige, basically.
Yeah.
And peas. I could eat peas. But other vegetables and fruit and meat, just nothing like that. But I had jam again for the first time. And it was the best jam I've ever eaten. And I had to, and then I had jam on toast the day after because it was so good. And I don't know if that's a craving or if it is because it's like an artisan jam that Duck Boy got gifted for his birthday from his work. So I don't know if it is just a really tasty jam or if it's a pregnancy thing that the jam tastes really good.
So Wife of Grumpy with the horse whisperer ate a lot of peas and claimed it wasn't a craving. And with you, she ate a lot of cream eggs and claimed it wasn't a craving.
Yeah.
So I think it probably is.
Yeah.
Because I think your body would turn down the taste buds on something that's, it doesn't need, and turn them up on something it does. I'm not an expert, and I've certainly not a doctor.
Hence the orange juice, because of the vitamin C. Oranges and orange juice at the moment are elite. I like it.
Although I believe there's more vitamin C in a carrot, but is it a carrot or is it a banana? Something. Or is it an apple?
I've been eating a lot of bananas. Actually, bananas I think might be a craving because I didn't really eat bananas.
Well, no, but they're high in potassium, or relatively high in potassium, and that is something that you will need to probably stock up on a bit. So that's why you're eating bananas, or why you're craving them. So good, excellent. So when's due date?
Well, this is the problem. Without going into too much detail, we're not 100% sure because currently, as of the day we're recording this, we haven't had our 12-week scan yet. Okay. Our 12-week scan's next week. And we aren't sure how far along I am because we had a little hiccup early on and then they remeasured a couple of weeks later and they said we were 8 weeks. which would make our due date the 14th of September. Okay. But they've also said that's very likely to change again at the 12 week. Because
okay, so we're talking mid-September, aren't we?
Yeah, September time, yeah. Which means it's going to be the oldest in its year, which is quite nice.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
Yes. I was at the other end of the scale, being one of the youngest. So
yeah. Also means I'll be on maternity leave for Christmas and summer next year, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And it'll be old enough to go and do cool stuff in the summer.
Because
it'll be like 11 months.
I don't assume that this is a holiday.
Oh my God, no.
By any stretch of the imagination. Just because you've got a year off does not make it a
But I mean,
holiday.
When it gets to the point where it's going to be like moving more and needing more
stimulation of that.
Yeah, I'll be able just to go outside and go to a park and like go to a zoo and it can look at animals and stuff and
go to a zoo. Okay.
Well, I was thinking like Fisher's Farm. That's what I had.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, perfect.
But like that kind of, at least it'll be the summer for when it's needing that. Whereas when it's winter, it will just be a blob.
Yes.
A blob that needs feeding and sleeping and burping and changing.
On a slightly different note, obviously it's been very wet here last few weeks. Mm. And Floyd does love going out in the garden. And the downstairs, fortunately our downstairs is all hard floors. There's a layer of mud on the floors where he's just come in covered in mud. I mean, not all over, just his paws.
Yeah.
And of course the ground is soft, so he has a bit of a dig. So it's, and you just look at it, you think, I can't do this every day. I'm just going to let it build up and have one good go on the weekend. But hopefully now we've got a dry period, the garden will dry out a bit, but we have decided to patio some of it. So we haven't got, because the top end
reduce the mud layers.
Yeah, just reduce the mud. So, so actually being able to go out when baby's moving around more in the summer is very good. The only thing you need to watch is that your artificial grass gets very hot in the summer.
Yes. Yeah. We're thinking about you can get those weird canopy things that just attach on rope.
Yeah.
Like you just hook them on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're thinking about one of those.
Yeah.
So that there's at least a bit in the shade so it doesn't get, because it's the direct sunlight that heats it up.
Yes. Yeah.
So then there'll at least be a shady patch. Good.
Well, that is exciting news. And
very
it's
exciting.
A new era for all of us.
I know. And, crazy.
I'm looking for my first thought, because I was thinking of building a set of ramps for the dog to run over, because he quite likes that sort of agility thing. And I think I might combine it with a Wendy house as well now.
Yeah, a ramp over the Wendy
over the Wendy house. So I haven't got planning permission for this yet. But
who do you need that from? Wife of Grumpy?
Yes. Oh, I wait till she's on a long golf and just build it. Oh, it's built now.
Yeah, too late. You've done it. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we'll be following, obviously, your progress with not too much detail. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're all good so far.
Good. Excellent. Right. Changing the subject, I came across an article that looked at some of the Navy speak from many years ago and how it's worked its way into common speakage, if that's the word, common parlance. So there's a few here I thought it was worth mentioning. So chock-a-block, very common one.
I like that one.
It's a variation of the Royal Navy slang block to block. So for those of you who've ever sailed a boat, then you'll be aware of pulleys around ropes. Mm. And if you've sailed with two pulleys on a mainsail, when you pull the rope all the way in, or the sheet all the way in, the blocks are right next to one another and you can't do anything else, you can't pull it in anymore. And that's where that saying comes from. So when they're close together, wouldn't move, that's block to block, or now chock-a-block.
Chock-a-block.
Now, there's a few about cats, surprisingly.
But well, they did have cats on boats, didn't they?
Did, but it has nothing to do with feline creatures.
Oh, okay.
It's to do with a cat-o'-nine-tails. Which is a cat o' nine tails, which is a whip they used in the Navy and other boats to punish sailors. So basically it's a stick with nine bits of rope coming out of the end of it and little knots on the rope. So it's an evil device. So letting the cat out of the bag was getting the cat o' nine tails out. So there's going to be trouble. room to swing a cat is not swinging the cat round a room by its tail. It is enough room to swing the cat of nine tails.
Oh, God.
Yeah, interesting. So on the fiddle, which we normally associate with maybe taking too much on your expenses or not paying enough tax, that sort of activity. So the Royal Navy had on their plates, they had a small lip around the edge, which was known as the fiddle, so that you knew how high they had to be, could be filled. And then any sailor who overfilled the plate was said to be on the fiddle, which was a punishable offence, possibly by the cat of nine tails.
Yeah, too much food.
Yeah.
So not taking your share.
Taking too much. Too much soup. So interesting to see how these terms that are in sort of one group of society then spill out into the rest of it and become a common sense. And I always like finding out the true meanings of phrases like that. It's quite interesting. So we'll keep an eye out for some more of those from different places. Now, we managed the whole episode in the last episode without me complaining about use of the term midnight. It's back. It's back. So somewhere on the internet, I found a photo of a menu board from a fish and chip shop. Actually, it's not just fish and chips. It's a takeaway shop. And I have no idea where this is. But it is in the UK because it's in pounds and pence.
English. Oh, yes.
I'm not sure about English. It's in pounds and pence. So first of all, it starts off with lunchtime special.
Lovely.
Very good. It lunchtime. Then says 12 a.m. to 4 p.m. Because there's discussion here about when midnight is. It's just, why? And apparently they've been told about it and they refuse to change it.
Well, that means you should just be able to get the special anytime until 4 o'clock.
Absolutely. Well, for 16 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, lunch. I mean, I'd love lunch the last 16 hours, but...
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be highly... But it does go further on down and it says quarter of a cheeseburger. So I think it meant quarter pound of cheeseburger, not a quarter of a cheeseburger, but maybe that's just being a bit picky.
£7, that's pretty good price, that.
I don't know how old that photo is. Could be very old indeed. Anyway, so that spurred me on a little bit to look into midnight again. And there's the MPL. I've no idea what that is. What is the MPL? Oh, it's MPL management. So I thought it was something official, but it's not actually. And one of the questions is midnight 12 a.m. or 12 p.m.? And it just goes on about confusion, basically, between the two. And I think in some cases they're almost interchangeable. So it is, as they say, it is common for transport timetables to use 23:59 or 11:59 p.m. or 12:01 a.m. So they avoid midnight and midday completely just because it does cause confusion. And I still, when I set this podcast to go out on a schedule, I do it at 5 minutes past midnight. I don't do it at midnight because I'm concerned they might think it's the
wrong day.
which is crazy. Now, somewhere on the socials, I found a link to an article about someone who had parked in somebody else's driveway. And then the owner of the house with the driveway decided to park behind them, which absolutely fair. Entitled to do, and then have a few beers. So
he couldn't move the car.
So when the inevitable fracas took place and the police turned up, he said, well, I'm too drunk to drive. and it's bank holiday
actually
weekend.
So good.
And I don't intend to be sober enough to drive all weekend. So,
that is so clever. So,
yeah, the other car was parked there on Friday and couldn't get it out until Tuesday.
That's actually so funny because, like, what do the police do at that point? Because they're like, they literally can't do anything.
No. But there's some oddity where you are allowed to park in other people's driveways. It's not illegal to do it.
But you're on private property.
I know. It's very weird. I don't fully understand the law behind it. But I have seen this before where people have parked on driveways and there's nothing, you can't remove the car because it could be damaged. I mean, I would be putting it in the middle of the road personally. and hell to the consequences. But yeah, I mean, but who on earth parks in somebody else's driveway?
Unless it was just a genuine mistake and they thought it was their mate, but...
Yeah, but you go to the house, you knock on the house, you realise your mate wasn't in there, and you don't then walk out and go to next door. And it's very, very strange.
Odd.
I do see it sometimes out the front here where you'll get a lorry will pull up and there's a space outside the house that is big enough for a very big lorry and it will park over our driveway.
Yeah.
And you just think, why have you done that? Why would you do that? I don't understand. Why don't you just pull back a bit? People's parking can be a bit odd, which is why there's so many groups on Facebook covering some really poor parking.
Poor parking. Love it.
Now, talking of cars, you may remember the Horse Whisperer's Shogun, which has turned into Trigger's Broom with more new parts.
More issues.
More issues. Well, she's decided to buy another car.
She
after
has.
The fan belt snap, which is very common on that model. Unless you use a particular brand of fan belt, they have a tendency to throw the belts. So it was recovered here, and we had a chat, and she said, I think I want to get another car. And she nearly bought an Audi like yours.
She nearly did.
Very, very close. But she clearly wasn't that excited about it. She said, I think I want an automatic. So... she had been swanning around in my Volvo automatic
and
really quite likes the laid-back driving of an automatic. So so we were going to go have a look on, I think it turned out to be a Saturday. She came here and she said, oh, I'm not sure. I said, well, let's have a look on Auto Trader. So we flipped through Auto Trader and found a Seat Leon. I think it's 2015. 2 litre diesel. So absolutely solid engine, quite high mileage, over 120,000, automatic with the DSG gearbox. So you can operate it as a automatic without a clutch, apparently. Nobody didn't try it.
What?
So you put it, push the stick all the way down and you've got up for going up a gear and then down for coming down a gear. So it's a bit like the paddles you get, but it's on the gear stick.
Yeah.
So anyway, this was down near Brighton. A little dealership down there. So we drove down there. A bit hard to find because we missed the big sign on the road that said Formula car sales, and then drove into the industrial estate. It was not quite a part of. So really nice chap there, very old school car dealer. He said, just have a look around. He said, if you want to have a test drive, that's fine. He said, but it's not much diesel in it. So he said, here's a tenner, stick some diesel in it. Oh, okay. That's nice. Good. So anyway, so we drove him down the road. You would not know this was a, how old is that? 9-year-old car.
It was
smooth. It's like yours. There's no rattles.
Yeah.
The diesel was quite quiet. It went like a stabbed rat, quite frankly. It's really quite punchy. So anyway, so she's bought that one and, we were discussing what to do with the Shogun. I said, well, I'll have it.
Yeah.
As I spent a small fortune on it. So I've got yet another car.
How many cars? How many people live in your house?
Two.
How many cars do you own?
Five. Plus a camper van.
Lovely. Plus a camper van.
Yeah. We had a... we had a meeting for the Classic Car Show this week, and we were discussing, as we seem to discuss every year, what the minimum age should be for a classic, which has been 20 years for as long as I can remember. And I sat there thinking, that's all of our vehicles. Everything we own
every single one.
Classic. It's a classic, but I'm a big fan of keeping things going.
So, well, they all work fine. Well, the Shogun's a bit hit and miss, but...
It has been very good. The belt thing is unfortunate. It is very common. And so I've got some Gates belts to go on that, which last. What I'm doing is a bit of a rolling restoration now. So wife of Grumpy has got a Volvo C70, which is the soft top version of my estate, essentially. And the seats in that were never brilliant when we bought it. Quite cracked. And And the driver's seat has now got into a really bad state. It was falling apart, basically. I mean, it was repairable. But what I decided to do is find some seats on eBay and replace them. So I got two seats in two different cars, and they were slightly different colours. The driver's seat had a few cracks in it, and the colour, it was really grubby. So I tried cleaning it, and it wasn't great. And one of the YouTube videos I watched, Salvage Rebuilds, they had a guy come in, and this was for a Porsche Boxster. Basically, he resprayed the seats, and they looked like new. That was fantastic. And as always, they've got links to these guys in the comments. So anyway, so I contacted him, said, look, I've got these. I sent him a photo, and he went, yeah, he said, that's fine. He said, I think the driver's one will need a couple of panels on it, new panels. He said, I don't do that, but I've got a trimmer who will do it. So I'll take the seat cover off, get him to redo it, put it back on, then finish it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I dropped these off, when was it? Early November. And he said, it'll be a few weeks. I said, well, there's no massive rush. We're still using the car. So anyway, these seats turned up. They were remarkable. I've never seen anything like it. They look brand new. So I was going to put them in, but the roof's been leaking. So we thought, should we do the roof before?
Don't want to ruin the nice new seats.
Yeah. So through a friend of, we found a place close by that does the mechanisms, but not the fabrics. But they use a place down in Sevenoaks. So we took the car down there, new roof. And apparently it was the original roof. So that's 24 years old. So that's not done bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. 22 years, sorry, 22 years. So anyway, so we got a leak-free roof, got the seats in there, and the door card on the driver's side have fallen off as well. And that was something I got become unglued. So I've glued all that back together again. That's all gone. It's looking like a brand new car. The only problem was there was an awful lot of water in the back of the footwell.
Yeah, like a puddle, like a full-on puddle.
It was massive. So there's a big sort of damping pad in there that was like a sponge. So that's been out and dried. So I've got to take it out again to do that. The problem is it's got an airbag in it. And I'm really nervous about this.
Oh, no.
So I disconnect the battery the night before.
Yeah.
I'd let everything just calm down and then grit my teeth and pull the wires out. And it's been okay.
You don't want an airbag going in the side of your head.
No, we're not in something you've just paid to have restored.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of this concept of a rolling restoration for these cars. Yeah. So you don't actually take it off the road. Same with the show car. I've got a new bumper, new brand new secondhand bumper that needs some a little bit of paintwork on it. But I've been reluctant to put it on there because the horse whisperer would just drive into bushes with it.
Yes.
So I know what would happen. I'd fit it, and then within a
it'd
week...
It'd be scratches within a week.
Which would just be annoying. So I've got a bit of time to do that slowly and properly. So I'm looking forward to that over the summer, along with all the other car jobs I've got to do. Yeah. So it's
never ending now.
Never ending. But we've discovered that Floyd quite likes being out the front with the gate shut, so he can't get out.
Yes.
So he'll quite happily pot around.
Plod around,
Last time we did it, I found a pile of cloths and tools that he'd picked up.
Smuggled away.
smuggled away. So yes, you do have to watch what he's done. Now, one of my other favourite moans is about people that talk at concerts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a long while ago I found this, because obviously we had that little break that delayed stuff somewhat.
Yes, yes.
And this is a lady called Lucy May Walker, and she's put a post up about gig etiquette. And she said, gig etiquette is really important to me. The audience can either make or break a show. And she's absolutely right. So her requests are, don't talk during the show. Be in the moment. The audience have not paid to see you. So if you're singing along loudly or being a bit of an idiot, then go away. And have an amazing
polite
time.
Words only.
And that's absolutely right. And particularly in the moment, you see people that film the whole lot on their phone and probably never watch it.
Oh, yeah. We had that when we went to see Harry Styles. There was like... there was one, because he has quite a bit, we were quite close-ish. And when he comes round, everyone's phones just go up to the point where then you actually can't see him because everyone's phones are in the way.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing.
Me and Duckboy were stood there like, can you see him? Like trying to look over these phones.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit daft, really. Mm. It is a bit daft. I read an article many years ago about U2's tour, the last one they did, or latest one they did. And they actually planned an Instagram moment. So there's one point, and I think they had a stage that came out into the audience.
Mm.
And they were on the stage, and there was behind was a big lit-up sign, something like YouTube World Tour, something like that. So any photos taken there, which was a prime photo-taking opportunity, would have information about the tour on there. So people go, oh, you two are doing a tour. And then the idea is that you go and buy tickets at some horrendous price. But it's interesting how bands are building this into, and brands as well. Mm. What was it I saw the other day? Oh, some friends of ours took their dog to this massive sort of dog walking area. So it's got all sorts of different things, woodland and all sorts of stuff. And there is a photo opportunity at the end of it. So there's this lovely hedge with the words, the name of the place, which I can't now remember, and a picture of the dog on like a rostrum for finishing.
Mm.
And that's what they put on Instagram. And you think, what a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Really, really good idea.
Talking about horrendously priced concerts, I have a question.
Yes.
How much do you think is a reasonable amount to pay for a 3-hour concert? How much would you expect for like a 3-hour concert of like a big artist?
Oh, a big artist. I wouldn't want to, but I would expect it would be £100-ish.
So, you know, Taylor Swift's touring at the moment. I don't know if you do know that.
No, I don't.
It's called the Eras Tour. So she's basically singing all of her albums, not every song, but she's doing every single album that she's ever released, a couple of songs from each. And it's a 3-hour concert with no breaks. And you're looking about £500 a ticket. For like average seats.
To put that in perspective, that's, we pay less than that. I mean, this is early bird prices for 3 days at Wayfest with camping and the camper van.
Yeah. Mad.
That is, that's bonkers.
Because I would love to go, but I'm not paying. I'm not a big enough fan to pay £500 plus.
That is a crazy amount of money, but they have sellouts. So
God, yeah. She's the biggest, I think as of her last American show, she was the biggest artist in the world for selling sold out concerts. Like the figure of how much she had made from the concerts. She was the most expensive, or made the most amount of money in the whole world.
I wonder if this is because of lack of income from physical music and, you know, not much from streaming services that's forcing people into charging astronomical amounts for live events.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't.
I don't know if how much her like really bad seats are, but for like a seat that you would want.
Yeah.
You're looking like £500.
Yeah. Festivals are definitely the way to go.
Yeah. But then if that's your favourite artist.
Yeah, but then one of my favourite artists is playing at Wayfest this year.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty keyed up about that, which is good.
Yeah. Which we won't be attending this year. I don't think.
Obviously not.
We'll see how we do.
No.
That's been the hardest part of this, or the whole pregnancy, is when we knew for about, I think we must have known for about two and a bit weeks before we told you guys, maybe a little bit longer. And there were like, and obviously at Christmas time, we kind of like, we knew we were trying at least. And like, they kept having small conversations of like, oh, so you're going to stay for the whole of Wayfest again? And we were
maybe.
And then it's like, well, how long are you staying at Swanage? And we were like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it does become quite difficult. Yeah.
There's a lot of lying involved. That's something that no one tells you. It's a lot of lying.
Or evasion, maybe.
Evasion.
Yes. Yeah. So Scouting for Girls are playing. Are you coming?
That's the day we want to come for. Yeah. So we'll just see, because I will be 8.5 months pregnant at that point. Oh, no, I'll be 8 months pregnant.
So can you go
in
the disabled part?
Probably not. Because I'm not, it would depend. I wouldn't be able to be right at the front.
No.
Be too cramped.
No, there's plenty of space there. And presumably not jumping up and down either.
Well, if I want to go into labour early, then yes, jump up and down as much as you want. But I would like to not do that.
Well, if you do go into labour early, we're not leaving until Big Country have played.
Okay, fair enough. We've also booked an Airbnb for Swanage.
Yes, that's a very, very good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make your money back by renting out the shower.
Well, the thought of being 7 months pregnant, almost 8 months pregnant, and sleeping on an air mattress, having to walk to a toilet in the middle of the night down a field was a no-go for me, so.
Yes,
we've got absolutely. a nice little Airbnb about 5-10 minute walk away.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now, way back in September, I came across this little story, and I can't remember the source of it. It's that long ago. It might have been John Simpson, the news journalist, but it may have been somebody else. But anyway, it's quite a funny story, so I'm going to tell it anyway. So it was one of our MPs at the time got out to Nigeria to meet various people and do stuff. And he was invited to a fancy dress party. So he gets the invite and he thinks, oh God, I haven't got anything at all. Mm. And he said, had a look. And he said, oh, now I've got my scuba gear because I was going to do a bit of scuba diving. So I'm cool. going to get my scuba gear. So he gets his wetsuit on, which is pretty brave thing to do for a party because you're just going to get hotter and hotter. Mm. So he gets all his scuba gear, orders a taxi, gets in the taxi, goes to the embassy, this event's at. They open the door and he realizes that a fancy dress party in Nigeria actually means a black tie do.
Oh, like a fancy dress, yes, not dress fancy
not fancy dress.
Oh, God.
So they're looking aghast at this guy. So he just turns around, gets back in the taxi, goes back to the hotel, gets his dinner jacket, comes back again. Brilliant.
Surely he would check that with someone. I feel
I
don't know.
Sometimes you don't, do you? You just think, oh, fancy dress party. You don't think there's another meaning for that.
So
that's a good top tip, actually. Always, if you're in a different country, check it means the same. Yeah, it could be very embarrassing. Now, we like a hustle.
We do like a hustle.
We do like a hustle. And this is by no means any form of suggestion that you should do this.
Okay.
However. Asda, this is some years ago, discovered they were losing DVDs, just disappearing.
Oh.
And they've all got that little thing in there that makes a noise when you go, if you try and go out without...
Oh, yes, yeah.
Without paying for it. Mm. So they couldn't work it out. And then they discovered or realised they had an in-store post office. And what somebody was doing was going in with some Jiffy bags with their address on it, putting the DVD in the Jiffy bag and sending it to themselves. So the So the post didn't go through the barrier with the alarm.
But even if it did, they probably wouldn't check the post because
just went out the back. There was no... Isn't that outrageous?
So genius.
No, it's not genius. It's to be frowned upon.
Yeah. Well, let's say it's genius now, because let's be honest, no one's buying a DVD anymore. Really.
Oh, I bought one this week.
Did you? What did you buy?
It's a double DVD, and the first film is The Wolfman from 1941, and the second film is Werewolf in London.
So not American great film.
Werewolf. No. Werewolf in London from 1935.
What's that? Is that similar?
It's a similar story, I believe. And I hadn't realised there was one before American Werewolf in London, which is why.
Oh, it's the one before.
Yeah. But for £3.50, we've only watched one so far. I watched one last night. So two nights entertainment.
I wonder how much they are on Amazon.
What, to see?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Please do. Oh, no, I did check to see if it was available and it wasn't. So that's why I ended up with a DVD. But that was something like Music Magpie. So £3.50 for... two DVDs, I thought was pretty good value. And the great thing is, they're only about an hour each long.
So none of this two
and a half hour where they bit in the middle and you just go, I just want it to end.
Yeah.
Talking of which, we watched the latest Mission Impossible last week, which is a very good film.
Mm. Was it?
Very good, but it is a bit long. And
I don't think I've seen the one before this one either.
I think this is
a Fallen?
I can't remember. This one is, can't remember either, but it's a part one. Dead Reckoning, part one. And it's a very, very good story. But there's a bit in the middle where there's, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, an overlong car chase. Quite a bit of fighting. And you just go, oh, God.
Over it.
They could have cut half an hour out easily. Mm. But the story is brilliant. And one thing about Tom Cruise is he always produces an entertaining film.
Yes, yeah. They're good.
Always very good. So that if you like that sort of film, it's quite recommended.
Mm. Oh, I'll tell you what we watched the other day. We did take a while to watch it, even though they're quite short episodes. But Netflix have redone the book. There's a book called One Day.
Okay.
That was made into a film years ago with Anne Hathaway and someone else. And now Netflix have redone it as a series. And oh my God, I forgot how sad this film is. This series is. Like, Chris and I are nearly crying. It's honestly so, so sad. It's such a good remake, though. It's slightly different to the film, how they've done it. But yeah, I'd highly recommend watching that.
Oh, okay.
It's they're only 20-minute episodes, so it's nice and quick. But
what was it called again?
One Day. So it's the same day every year.
Oh, okay. So
that's all we see is that one day every year. And obviously their relationship as it grows and changes and...
Oh, interesting.
Different things happening in their lives. But sometimes you don't even see them together. Yeah, the end. The end is awful. Oh,
I don't like sad endings.
Yeah.
I'm very good with that.
Yeah.
We watched Criminal Record on Apple. Finished that last night. Which is a series with Peter Capaldi in it. Mm. Unfortunately, I could only see Peter Capaldi as he was in Local Hero about 30 years ago, because he's the same shape, he's just got older, whereas most of us have got a bit changed shaped, sometimes quite dramatically.
He's tubby.
He's just thin and wiry with an older face, but his movements are the same. But that was a very good series. That was that, if you've got Apple, it's well worth watching. It's
we don't pay for it.
Very twisty, not we, Horse Whisperer.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm shocked that you do, actually.
No, I know. There is a limit on how many streaming services you can have at any one time. Anyway, so with your announcement, we've got a new peg, haven't we?
We do. And I've completely... This is another thing, which actually probably should be the thing for today, is I've completely forgotten how I worded it.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember.
Well, I don't, because you haven't told me.
Well, no, I did. I told you when we were over. And I said, it was along the lines of, things I didn't know in pregnancy or things.
Oh, yes. No, I can't remember. The thing is that I organise my life with lists. If it isn't on the list,
I should have written it down.
Yeah, gets forgotten
about. But that should be one, because my memory is awful. And I don't know what it is, but the last 12 weeks, I can't remember diddly.
No.
Things keep happening and I forget.
Lists, post-it notes, all over the
my
place.
Calendar's been a very helpful tool.
Anyway, so the thing that you can't remember, have you got something for that?
Yeah, I did. It was along the lines of things you didn't know happened until you got pregnant.
Yes, okay. I think we'll look for a snappier title for
this. We will. I'll think about it and write it down this time.
Okay.
But my one for... It's actually mainly a change for Duck Boy, and that I slightly mentioned earlier, is that I just don't want to do anything ever. I want to eat and sleep, and Duck Boy has to just deal with that. And bless his heart, he has been amazing and just left me to my own devices and just lets me do what I want to do, and he just cleans up behind me. But that's my thing, is a big, I think, dynamic shock that you don't realize is coming, because you think obviously it's going to come when the baby's there, but it hits as soon as those hormones start increasing. It hits, and he has taken over everything, and the dynamic change is massive.
To be honest,
don't really clean
that doesn't
anymore.
Surprise me at all. He's he's a solid, dependable chap,
and he hasn't moaned. He started moaning now that I'm feeling better. And he's like, well, do you want to start cleaning up again?
Oh, well, we had a conversation during the week along these lines, on his birthday.
Really?
And I said, I hope you got breakfast in bed. Not a chance. And he doesn't seem to think that you'd stop feeling ill. So you may have omitted to tell him that you were feeling better.
Yeah, there was a point where I just didn't think I was ever going to feel like, know when you're sick, you're like really sick and you can't remember what it's like to just feel okay again, and you're not sure you're ever just going to feel okay again. That's what it felt like in the depths of week 7.
Well, the problem is that any illness, you get ill really quickly and you feel rotten really quickly. Mm. And feeling better is over a very much longer period of time. Mm. So you just suddenly think, oh, actually, I don't feel that anymore. Rather than suddenly feeling better. So it is tricky. But it is interesting on wives and husbands when they realize that a baby is actually coming. So clearly for the mother, it's, as you say, fairly straight away.
You feel it.
And for wife of Grumpy, the indicator was, I don't like coffee anymore. And she loves coffee.
Oh, yeah.
The stronger, coffee. The better. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, no, it just tastes like metal, which was the clue that number two was on the way. But for the first child, for the horse whisperer, the point for me at which it became a reality is we'd been through three shifts of nurses because of wife of Grumpy's blood pressure was quite high. Mm. When the nurse wielded a cot, I thought, oh, God.
There's going to be a baby in there in a second. There's
going to be a baby in a minute. I mean, I just thought it was, you know, overindulgence in kebabs. But but it's bizarre when it hits you. And it so for fathers-to-be, if it's not until you get to the maternity room, that's okay.
Yeah, that's really I think that okay. will be the same for Duck Boy. I think it won't really hit for him until... Obviously, it's hit for him in ways of like changing dynamics, but not so much in.
Yeah.
He's still doing what he wants and going and playing golf and spinning. Yeah. And I'm loving that because it means that I can just chill on the sofa and I don't have
to. Yeah. Well, that works. Works for both of you.
Yeah. He's not allowed to go spinning or golfing so that I can have a 10-minute break.
Yes. Well, that's a bit harder. And that. And, you know, we've had the same with having a dog as well, that you've got to look after it and you can't both just wander off and do what you want to do. And the key is communication.
100%, yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, I've got a fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, about buses.
About buses?
Buses and bridges. Albert Gunton, a London City bus driver, driving his route across Tower Bridge in December 1952, where the bridge started to rise to allow a ship to pass through. He decided in a split second to speed the double-decker bus up and jump the gap, which he succeeded in doing. And he was given a £10 bonus.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Now, what I don't know is how high the sides of the bridge were before he jumped it.
If there was a gap, they've got to be pretty high.
Well, the gap will be...
That's actually so funny for that. That's letting... I always forget what it's called.
Enabling.
No, when you have impulsive thoughts.
Yes.
You know, when you're driving sometimes and you're like, I wonder what happened if I just went...
Yeah.
Yeah, like those weird thoughts that pop into your head, like dangerous thoughts. He let his win. His thought came into his head and goes, I could jump that. And then he just went, okay.
Well, and he made £10, which in 1952 was a substantial amount of money.
Yeah. Good on him.
Yeah. Good for you. Please don't try that at home. That's it for this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
You can help spread Lippy and Grumpy's view on life by leaving a review on your favourite podcast platform.
If you're not sure how to leave a review, or if you download from Spotify, there's some help at lippyandgrumpy.uk/review.
And if you would like to get in touch, email podcast@lippyandgrumpy.uk.
So it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from him.
Goodbye.